Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast number 38 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries, sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. The 2016 U.S. Open concluded this past weekend. Congratulations to Angelique Kerber for winning her first U.S. Open and second career Grand Slam singles title, both of which have come this year, and to Stan Wawrinka for winning his first U.S. Open and third Grand Slam singles title overall. In part one of our U.S. Open postmortem, we discuss some of the key takeaways from the season's last major as it pertains to the women's game. What can we look forward to for the remainder of the 2016 season and into 2017? Now, it's no secret that on the women's tour, it's been wide open since the beginning of the year. Seemed like week in and week out, many of the top seeds were either pulling out of tournaments due to injuries or getting unexpectedly bounced out in the early rounds by lower and unseeded opponents. Serena Williams has been the only player, for the most part, to hold up her seeding in the tournaments she's entered this year, which unfortunately have been few and far between, because she's played a limited schedule due to an assortment of injuries. Serena was the only one of the top seeds to go deep in each of the Grand Slams, reaching the finals in three and the semifinals in the other, and along the way, of course, winning her 22nd Grand Slam singles title at Wimbledon. And although Angie Kerber reached three Grand Slam finals, winning two, the Australian and recently completed U.S. Open, she had a rather up-and-down first half of 2016. After winning her first major at the Australian Open in January, Kerber did not regain her form until Wimbledon, where she lost to Serena in the finals. The good news is that Kerber has played very well since, winning the U.S. Open this past weekend and is now the new number one ranked player in the world, bringing to an end Serena's record-tying run of 186 consecutive weeks at the top spot. So the question is, are we finally going to see a little more stability, less volatility in the women's game in the near future? Well, probably not. No disrespect to Kerber or any of the players hovering around the top five like Muguruza, Radwanska, Halep, or Pliskova. In my view, it will be unlikely to see a dominant number one on the WTA Tour, at least for the foreseeable future. Serena will turn 35 years old in a couple of weeks, and it's unknown at this point what kind of tournament schedule she will play moving forward. Serena may choose to shut it down for the remainder of this year to rest her sore knee and recover from other injuries, similar to what she did in 2015. And if Serena does not play a full schedule for the remainder of this year, and you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2017, well, the door swings open even wider for other players, whether they are current or next generation. You know, Kerber has emerged as a bona fide champion, winning two majors and getting to the finals of a third slam this year. She is certainly deserving of the number one rank. I believe the challenge for Kerber moving forward is that her game is more of a counterpunching type of game. While she possesses very high tennis IQ, is a good athlete, good mover, and can generate sufficient pace on her shots, Kerber's game lacks what I would consider a real dominant attribute, whether that is top-shelf power or speed or agility. In other words, she does not get a lot of easy points and has to work fairly hard to win. So it would not surprise me to see several players taking turns at the top spot over the next 12 to 24 months. So who are some of these other players? Well, let's consider the possibilities. Let's start with Karolina Pliskova, who Kerber just defeated to win the U.S. Open. Pliskova is a tall and physically imposing player. She's got a great serve. She leads the WTA in aces this year, and she can hit winners from the baseline at any time off of both the forehand and backhand wings. As she showed throughout the U.S. Open, she is certainly capable of raising her level of play in the big moments. The one aspect of her game where she is vulnerable is in the area of quickness, mobility, and court coverage. Now, she's listed as 6'1", she's got long arms and legs. Well, making quick pivots and little adjustment steps can be a little challenging. But given the power and speed elements of tennis today, I believe it's difficult to win consistently at the elite level if there are any exploitable weaknesses in a player's quickness, mobility, and power departments. Now, she doesn't lack for any power, but Pliskova's quickness, mobility, and court coverage are kind of average, and I think that's going to present a bit of a challenge for her moving forward. I mean, she's no longer under the radar, and opponents will certainly make their adjustments when they play her. Aga Radwanska is kind of on the other end of the spectrum from Pliskova from a physical standpoint. Radwanska obviously has very high tennis IQ. She's very quick, she's mobile, she's crafty. But Radwanska is not a physically imposing player. She's listed at 5'8" and about 123 pounds. Her game, when compared to her competitors, lacks sufficient wattage off the ground, and especially on her serve. Now, this lack of power has perhaps been the main impediment to Radwanska not getting over that final hump and winning a major. For Simona Halep, she has a similar issue, I think, or similar challenge to Radwanska. At only 5'6" and 130 pounds, she too is not a physically imposing player. Now, Halep is a great athlete. She's a great mover and can generate some decent power on her shots. The challenge for Halep is that she has to work extremely hard physically to beat her competitors, most of whom are physically bigger and stronger. You know, when you consider that it takes, winning 7 matches over 2 weeks to win a Grand Slam, it leaves one to wonder whether Halep will have enough in the tank, if she gets to the quarters, semifinals, and finals of a major. Her best showing in a major was the final of the 2014 French Open. Other than that, Halep has reached the semifinals of a slam on only 2 other occasions. Garbiñe Muguruza is the reigning French Open champion. Now, Muguruza's game is all about doling out punishment. She is not lacking for power in her game. She's got great groundies and a very good serve. And I think her movement and footwork is they're currently serviceable and can still be improved. There's no doubt Muguruza at 6 feet tall has the physical game to be number one. The question is whether her mindset, the desire and commitment to be number one, is currently strong enough. Now, I think you have to give Muguruza the benefit of the doubt and allow her a little bit more time to move past the hangover from winning her first Grand Slam this year. I think 2017 will be a very telling year for her as it pertains to this issue. Now, what we've seen in the women's game after the conclusion of the 4 Grand Slams now is that Serena is not a lock to win everything. Now, I still contend that she is the favorite to win every tournament she enters until further notice. But soon to be 35 years old, Serena has been a professional tennis player for over 21 years now, with most of those years spent at or near the top. And we're seeing all of that take its toll on her physically and mentally. Look, it happens to every athlete. Can't play at the top level forever. So Serena's once near invincible aura will continue to be challenged moving forward by an expanding pool of exciting current and next generation players. That said, it's going to be a while before we see a player that can come close to dominating this sport the way Serena has over the years. Her record-tying 186 consecutive weeks at number one will very likely not be challenged for a long, long time to come. For the foreseeable future, as far as the women's game is concerned, there'll be a lot of new faces, new blood, new champions, and now new number ones. So let's just enjoy the process. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.